Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community. And folks, this program is sponsored in part by BCT GM International. That's the Bakers Union. And the Fairfax Education Association. And we appreciate all the wonderful things that they're doing for the community. Folks, don't forget that you can go to our website, www.theunionedge.com, and you can download the free app for your iPhone or your Android. Hey, do us a favor. Rate the app, because if you like the app and you let other people know, and we get good ratings for either the Android version or the iPhone version, you know, it helps more people find it easier and so on and so forth. But just type in The Union Edge, and you'll find the app. We appreciate that very much. Joining me today in studio, we've got Patty DeMarco. Patty, welcome back.
Hi, Charles. How are you?
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Patty, one of the things, I don't know if a lot of people know, but as long as you've been on the radio with us, you've been working on a book for a while.
Oh, about 4 years.
About 4 years.
I retired in 2012, and that didn't work too well. So I started trying to compile all the product of 7 years of teaching and 30 years in the utility and energy business into a distillation of my thoughts.
And it's called A Pathway to Our Sustainable Future, Global Perspective from Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is kind of neat for a number of different reasons. Number one, we've been doing this. We've been doing a pretty good job. Not perfect, but a pretty good job here in the Pittsburgh area. And we've got people buying into it, like Pittsburgh National Bank. Yeah. And their new building is one of the most energy efficient LEED buildings in the world.
Right. Pittsburgh has, I think, a total of 18 LEED Platinum or better buildings. Mm-hmm. And also has one of the, well, the green heart of Pittsburgh is Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Garden with their Living Buildings Center, which is a net zero energy construction to the Living Building Standard. And I think that's really indicative of where Pittsburgh is going. And first, before I get into this too much, I do want to thank the Pittsburgh Foundation, W. Clyde and Ida Mae Thurman Fund, who supported my work while I've been writing so that I didn't have to worry about looking for a job. And also it supported the photography and some of the special things that we did, like host some focus groups and interviews with special people that we were able to do for this book. So I really appreciate their support for my work, and also the Institute for Green Sciences at Carnegie Mellon University, which gave me a academic home for this effort.
There you
really go. Really important to have supporters and friends.
It is. And Patty, you know, you and I have been working together for not nearly long enough.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of work to do. But this book, you know, this is an important thing. Yeah. And you were even recognized by Mayor Peduto for saying nice things about Pittsburgh and doing the work that you're doing. Talk to us a little bit about how you roped the mayor into this.
Well, actually, the mayor was way out front. And I have a great theory about, you know, leadership being an important part of change. And, you know, Pittsburgh is a really unique place in a lot of ways because we have this fossil extractive industry past. We really were one of the cradles of the Industrial
Right.
Revolution with, you know, heavy manufacturing, steel, lots of resource intensive industries. And here we are on the cutting edge of a city that's one of the 100 commitments to the Resilient City Movement. We've made a commitment to the Paris Climate Accord and have a plan forward. I think it's in its third iteration now, with a very broad group of people involved in participating in that effort. And I think that is indicative of what's happening. This is a revolution from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't coming from the big businesses down for the most part. It's really coming in the cracks in the system that where things aren't working real well going forward. People are looking ahead, trying to recognize the challenges that we're facing for this coming century, and who have a vision out there are not mired in trying to make the past continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at what you can find in the way of opportunities forward.
Right.
And that's where Pittsburgh is right now. It's just
right.
So exciting.
And you We have talked about this in a myriad of different things on my radio programs, on your radio program. We've talked about this, you know, and one of the things I always go back to is, you know, we've got a whole bunch of highly skilled, ready to work people that used to work in the coal mining industry mm-hmm. that have sets of skills. They're mechanically inclined. Right. They know how to fix things. They know how to, you know, work with equipment. Computers don't scare them. They've got some really good skill sets, but coal mining isn't where it used to be. Okay. Right. And we could transfer those skill sets into wind turbine manufacturing, mm-hmm. solar cell manufacturing, this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, this is not only happening, you know, you have whole ranges of entrepreneurial initiatives where people have said, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I've talked to people who were in the coal mining business or their families were, and they're now in the entrepreneurial world taking on a high-tech endeavor. People have gone into things where their skills have been transferred. If you do pipe, you can do geothermal. If you do load management for a utility, you can do that for a distributed energy system. It's a really big product, too, of the fact that we have 8 accredited universities in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And the intellectual capital that has spilled out of that really tremendous investment in human ingenuity has really propelled this area. Our challenge has been more to disseminate that beyond the city proper into the surrounding areas.
Right.
And that's some of what I find so exciting. You get companies like GTEC Strategies, where they go into communities and look at the resources that are there and build a sense of community around problems and go forward from there. You look at people like Windstax. You know, he took over a small operation down in the middle of the Strip District. It used to be the founding building of Alcoa long time ago. And he said, we're going to make this the center of a wind production supply chain and supply it all from the local area. I think it's that kind of, we can solve this problem sort of attitude that I find in Pittsburgh that makes it really a special place.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we do these things, I mean, Pittsburghers have that can-do attitude.
Yeah.
And when we do these things, it really does a lot of great things for the community and the rest of the world.
Right.
And, you know, hats off to people like Mike Dunleavy mm-hmm. with IBEW5. Mm-hmm. He's a business manager there.
My grandfather's union, by the way.
There you go. And you know, they are up to date in, mm-hmm. when it comes to the solar integration and the wind turbine integration, and they're prepared. If you said, hey, put the solar cells on top of my building today, they're ready to go.
Right. And you have people also who are now working on at the Connolly Trade Center to look at the microgrid, the distributed power system, and what you need to do to have that work. And the union guys are right there involved with that, the operating engineers and the electrical engineers. So it's a really diverse, you know, community that has, you know, solved a number of problems that other people are just beginning to cope with. But a lot of it has to do with the spirit of cooperation that you find in Pittsburgh in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. We're talking with Patty DeMarco. You know her from listening to this program, but she's also an author. Her latest book, Pathways to Our Sustainable Future, A Global Perspective from Pittsburgh. We're going to talk some more. We're going to take a break. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone. Let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey America, we need to have a little talk. We've got a lot of food in this country. We've got so much food that we can't eat it all. So how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids who need it. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
One in seven Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, folks, I want to thank the folks with PA, AFL-CIO, and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters for all their support. We appreciate that very much. Don't forget, folks, you can go to our website, www.theunionedge.com, and download a free app for your iPhone or your Android. That way you can listen to this radio program anywhere in the world at any time, right there on your phone. We appreciate that very much. That app does some other neat things. You can reach out to us and send us comments, so on and so forth. We appreciate it. If you like the app, like it or where you download it. We appreciate that too. In studio with me today, Patty DeMarco, environmental guru extraordinaire all the way around. Patty, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles.
Patty, just finished your book, Pathways to Our Sustainable Future, a Global Perspective from Pittsburgh. You've been working on that for a while.
Yep. And I feel really excited to having it released this coming week from the University of Pittsburgh Press. They've been a great publisher and have really, you know, given it a lot of polish and class. And I think it's important to give something to people that help you connect to these really complicated problems that we're dealing with. The global pollution and climate change. These are issues people have trouble getting their hands around, and they can be really intimidating and seem very difficult to relate to. And I find that bringing it down to a local level and showing how people in the real world, in a real place, have coped with this problem. It hasn't all been sunshine and flowers, you know. Mm-hmm. You've had to struggle. I mean, we're sitting here in Marcellus Shale territory, actually ground zero of the Marcellus Shale boom. And in spite of that, the renewable energy industry is thriving here and has some tremendous examples of success. And I think part of the struggle is what makes it interesting and important. You don't have to find that everything happens easily in order for it to work well. And I find that taking things down to basics is really important. If you can understand that we're all part of the living earth, not the built world, mm-hmm. and that our viability and survival depends on things like fresh air, clean water, fertile ground, and the biodiversity of species, of which we're only one part, then you can understand that we have to take care of the earth in order to take care of ourselves.
Right. Absolutely.
So I start with that environmental ethic and the rights of the Mother Earth as the starting point. And then you can really help people connect to the natural world. And Pittsburgh has really done that. We're a biophilic city. We have green spaces all over the place where there didn't used to be any before. We have a green stormwater management initiative going forward and urban agriculture initiatives, including legislative ordinances that help that happen in the city. Lots of really cool things that help us be more connected to the living world as part of our normal urban environment. It makes a big difference.
You know, Patty, one of the things that you and I have talked about here in the past is we are still paying for and are going to continue to pay for until sometime in the future. The things that we have done back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Right.
And you know, our rivers. I mean, our rivers are coming back. You know, but unfortunately, you know, there's that little asterisk there. It says, don't eat anything. Yeah, don't eat the fish more than like once a month. And I'm like,
this is a real important part. I mean, the global pollution is really scary. And, you know, everything you do every day has an effect on that. I mean, a lot of the things that you put down the drain, if you're not careful, you know, has things in it that will be there for a long time. Things that in your cleaning products, things that are in your personal care products, things that you throw away by accident, and all the plastic that we throw out on a daily basis, it ends up somewhere in the environment. And I think having a sensitivity about preventing rather than trying to put it back in the box after you've let it out is a really important prospect of what sustainability means. And we're actually one of the leaders in the green chemistry initiatives for helping to prevent the formation of things that are toxic when they get into
dioxins.
The environment. Well, dioxins, parabens, phthalates, all kinds of things like that. A lot of petrochemical byproducts. So we end up with, I think, a very exciting prospect out of initiatives that are based on biomimicry, where you
mimic what goes
on in nature. And so you can get adhesives and even surgical adhesives that are derived from studying mussels attachments and shellfish attachments. I think these kinds of things are all around us, just waiting to be developed and explored in detail.
Absolutely. And Patty, how do we get your book?
Okay. You can go to the University of Pittsburgh Press, upress.pitt.edu, and order it there, or you can get it on amazon.com. And it will be shipped next week. And we have a number of book signing events all around the area, and more than happy to schedule one. If anyone's interested, they can reach me through the radio station or on my website, www.patriciadimarco.com.
There you go. There you go. And you know, Patty, these things are within our reach.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing about it. I mean, it's, you know, if you own a big building downtown Pittsburgh, and you want to cut your air conditioning bill by 20%, well, plant some plants on the roof.
There you go. I think one of the things that is really become more clear to me as I've been working on this book is that we are not facing a technology problem in dealing with either climate change
or global pollution.
It's an ethics problem. It's a values problem. And it's a commitment to the viability and survival of the future generations. I dedicated this book to the children of the 21st century because if we don't pay attention to these issues, their life is going to be so much more difficult. And it's within our power to make that a better, you know, fate for them. There's nothing they can do about it to make their own fate better. But those who can't speak today, they have no voice at the table, both the unborn children of the next generation and all of the living things who don't come to public hearings and testify, have a right to exist. And it is our burden to do what we can, which is a wonderful opportunity. It's extremely empowering to have a vision of a world that is actually viable and vibrant and much more equitable than the one we're in right now.
All right. And again, while we've made some messes, and it took us a while to make these messes, we can clean them up.
Absolutely.
We can do the things that we need to do. And we can stop from doing what we did before all at the same time. This is like a teenager. Yeah. In some ways.
Yeah, a few rules, a little bit of guidance. Just recognize that the laws of nature are not negotiable and you're a long way ahead.
Right.
Mother Nature wins every time. Yeah.
What was that Parquet commercial? Don't mess with Mother Nature.
I think that was Parquet. Yeah,
yeah, something like that.
The thing is that, you know, really, if we recognize that if we live in harmony with the laws of nature, there's nothing that thrives better. Look at an empty lot. You leave it vacant for a little while, and pretty soon you've got cracks in the asphalt and stuff coming up.
Right.
2 years down the road, you don't even know there was an airfield there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the evidence that, you know, the earth can heal if we just get out of the way.
Right.
And we can thrive, too, if we figure out how to work within those boundaries that are the natural law, not necessarily economic laws that we make where it doesn't have any sense to it.
And for 99% of the issues that we're talking about today, our quality of life would not be impacted.
It would improve.
It would improve.
I mean, air quality would be better. You have fewer people with asthma. I mean, the last estimate that I saw was that 7 million fewer asthma cases will occur when we stop burning coal. Mm-hmm. And the way the prices of solar and wind are coming down and are becoming spread in places like the Navajo Nation is now, they're losing a coal plant because it shut down to its age. They're replacing it with a solar field of utility scale. It's going to power 13,000 homes. And they're seeing a level of independence that has not happened in their
right.
experience.
They don't have to buy coal.
They don't have to pay anybody for it.
They don't have to maintain the plant. You know, and solar cells, you know, they've got a 20-year lifespan, 25-year lifespan.
Yeah. And they provide jobs. I mean, you have to make them, you have to maintain them, you have to interconnect them. And I think what we have to do is to just begin visualizing these new systems, which is what the New American Economy program on this radio station does, try to help people visualize what's possible going forward.
Pathways to our
sustainable.
I like that. Our Sustainable Future, A Global Perspective from Pittsburgh. One more time. We get it on Amazon?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon.com. Just look up either Patricia DeMarco or Pathways to Our Sustainable Future and get it from University of Pittsburgh Press. Pitt.edu.
How do I get an autographed copy?
You just come to book signing.
You go to book signing. See, here we go. I see why they did that. What's your first book signing coming up?
We have one on the 19th of September at FIPS, which is the launch. We have one on the 26th of September at the Peters Township Library at 7 p.m. We have one at the Carnegie Library down in Oakland on the 19th of October, and in the Mount Lebanon Public Library on the 24th of October. We will be holding one in Reston, Virginia, and in New York City and Harrisburg shortly.
Uh-huh. There you go, little road trips.
And if anyone would like to hold a book signing or just have me come and talk about our sustainable future and how you get there, I'm more than happy to do that.
There you go. Patty DeMarco, always a pleasure, Patty. Thank you. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk.